I really want to emphasize that for us this morning, that when we come together, we don't come together because we are wanting to sing songs or just, you know, have some kind of a program or anything, or just because it's habit. We don't come together because it's habit. We come together because it's Jesus that's working in us. It's Jesus that's calling us together. It's Jesus that wants to do something in us. And it's us acknowledging, Jesus, we need you. We need you in and above everything else. There's nothing more important than you. And so when we come together, it's important for us to come together with this mindset, that we're coming to Him. Last week I spoke a little bit just about some housekeeping, you know, just the cleaning of the house. Some of the things that we have, that we've neglected. Some of the corners in the house that are a little bit of cobwebs and spiders and apples lying around. I don't know if you guys remember, but last night we were visiting with people. And I told last Sunday the story that when you come into my house, it's kind of like clean for 5 minutes because they after the kids run around and they eat apples and food. And before you know it, there's an apple lying here and, you know, just you need to clean all over again. And so last night we visiting with people and Juniper Meyer came and she asked for an apple and she kind of ate the apple kind of like she thinks it's finished, but actually it's not. And so she just runs, and as she runs, the apple falls out of her hand and she kind of just leaves it there. She just keeps on running. She forgets about it. And so they were going, oh, we understand now what happens. Good to hear that they were listening to the preach. But I mentioned a couple of things of where we've slipped up and we've not given attention to it. And I want to say really that it is been, not is been, it has been, sorry, it's my Afrikaans coming through. It has been such a blessing to just during the week hear of people that have been seriously convicted and have made the adjustments in these areas. It was like, every now and then people are coming to me and speaking to me and going like, you know, this thing you said, sure, it convicted me. And actually a number of people that I've seen in the week that just go, we've been convicted about not hosting. And where they've gone and go, sure, it's like, this is going to bother me. Where they've gone Sunday straight after the service, gone on the Josh Shane website and registered to host. Because it was a conviction in their hearts. God did something. God spoke something into it. And immediately they changed and they shifted. And man, that encouraged me. It's not that you listen to my words. That's not the thing that and go, okay, cool, maybe a good idea and giving it a thought. But it's that God comes and God convicts our hearts. And in God convicting our hearts, we're shifting. Because that's what it's meant to be. That's what it's meant to be. It's as God comes and He convicts our hearts and He addresses things in our hearts, that we shift, that we don't resist it, that we don't try and justify. But God, you know, that we don't do that, but that we shift. And man, just to hear some of the testimonies, I want to mention names, but it's going to just, I know people are not always ready for that. But one of the testimonies is a single person in our congregation. They've got like a bachelor flat, bed, kitchen, and I think couch. I've never been to their house, but or their flat, but everything is one room. And they were convicted on having to host, and they put their name up for hosting. That is, come on, huh? That is hospitality. That is something that speaks of who God is. It speaks of a value that has been set right. And it doesn't matter whether I have 10 rooms in my house, whether I have no rooms in my house is open. That's a value. It's not just a thing that we do. Because if it was just a thing that we do, if we had just the one room, we wouldn't have done it. But the thing is, when we realize that it's just a thing that we do, when we end up having 10 rooms, it's still something that we don't do. Because it's not a value. And so it's been super encouraging to see how God has been shifting our hearts. There's been a couple of testimonies of people that's going actually like straight off the service. some people standing up and going, Ryan, how can we sign up for Next Gen? And I think actually some of those are serving today. Amen? Hey? Yeah? I mean, that is like, we're not just sitting here. We are part of this house. And as we're part of this house, we realize there's apples that's lying around or there's toys lying around, and we are part of this. We are part of making this a home that people love. Making this a place when people come into you, they feel loved, they feel cared for, they feel that warmth of it's a house. Amen? And that's encouraging. And I want to say to you, I want to encourage you that if you know that God pointed out something in your heart last week and you haven't done something about it, I want to encourage you, don't waste time in going and doing it. Because we don't want God to come to that moment where he stops speaking to us because we're not listening. We want to take, when God comes and when God speaks, we want to take that and we want to regard that, not just in thought or in imagination, but we need to regard that as the living God that is speaking to us. Whether it's through a donkey or whether it's through a king or whether it's through whatever else, it doesn't matter. If we can acknowledge that it's God speaking to us, we have to respond to that. We have to do everything we can to respond to that. And if we're struggling in that place to respond, we need to put up our hand and say, community leader or just person right next to me, I'm struggling. I know I need to do something, but can you quickly pray with me? And I'm pretty certain that the person right next to you would say, what can I do to help you do this thing that God is saying to you that you need to do? Because that's what this is about. That's what this is about. We're not just coming together to sit here and get a message and feel good for the week, hoping that it will carry us through. No. There's people that's signing up for coffee shop to serve in the coffee shop. There's people signing up to serve on sound. I mean, it's daunting to go behind that desk and the buttons all look at you and there's a lot of buttons and you go, like, if I press the wrong button, it's not just me that's going to know it. Everybody is going to know it. And for people to go, I'm willing to take that chance. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to, man, that is only God that can do that. And so I'm really like, yeah, my heart is full of just what God has been doing in our midst. And I want to encourage you to not miss out on it. Don't miss out on it. So this week as elders, we had a time on Wednesday just with Andrew. And Andrew is just coming back from touring in Europe. Or not touring, but visiting churches. Sorry, I said touring. It's not touring. It's very hard work. But he was visiting with a number of churches in the UK, all over Europe, in Russia. And just for him to come back and to hear just what God is doing all over the globe has been so encouraging. And I'm saying it here this morning because if it's encouraging to me, I want it to be encouraging to you as well. Because you need to know that as we're together here this morning, we are not just us here in Edgemead. Josh Jen is 23 congregations that we are part of. And of those 23 congregations that make up Josh Jen, we are part of 412 that extends to the furthest of reaches over the globe. And to have Andrew come and say, man, you won't believe what God is doing in India, in Europe, in Russia, and like in all these odd little places, you just go, man, like it's an exciting time to be alive. Because God is doing something and he's doing something in us. Because we are part of 412. We are not 412. We are part of 412. And that means that the believers in, I don't know if there's believers in Uzbekistan, but it's the only country that's coming to my mind now. But if there's believers in Uzbekistan, we share something. And God is building the same thing in us here in small little old Edgemead than what He's doing in Russia, in the UK, in America, in Brazil. Like He's doing the same thing. And that makes me go just like, wow, God. It broadens my perspective. Because I realize whatever I'm struggling with here, there's believers struggling all over the globe. But God is doing the same thing. God is building them up. And if they can do it, if they can run with what God is doing, why must I not run with what God is doing? Last week, Stephen mentioned just about going to Khayelitsha and just how it opened up his eyes about what 412 actually is. Churches working together. And the way I see it, it's almost like a thing of, like as much as we are single individuals sitting in this one room, it's almost like God is looking at each of us as a church in 412 and He's bringing us together and He's doing something in us. And that picture just goes bigger and bigger and bigger. And so if I want to encourage you that if you're thinking here this morning that your little bit that you maybe give here only really affects here, or maybe it doesn't even affect here, you feel like that. I want to say to you that is not the truth. Because your little bit is adding to us here. And if it's adding to us here, it's adding to the whole of 412. Because we're all one. We're all one. One body. Different parts, sometimes different functions, but we're one body. And God is doing something in us. And it really excites me to be part of that. It excites me to be part of the church. And so last week I mentioned a couple of things. And it was quite uncanny to see Andrew and some of the elders and elders' wives that was there with me that came afterwards and just say, like, can you believe that that's what Andrew said? Because it's what we said here. And I think that's a thing of where it seems like what God is doing in us is not connected to us as just an individual, but it's something He's doing in the spirit. And as people, we're picking up on what God is doing. And last week I mentioned a couple of things just of what the season is, where God is going to add to us, God is going to move in us in a way He's never done before. I said, I believe that God is coming to commission some of us. That God is changing and aligning destinies for the sake of His glory. This morning we saw a video clip of Andrew saying, hey, I believe that God is wanting not to just, Andrew said in the beginning here, he's really trusting God to plant two churches, not congregations, two churches. And after this trip, he said, he felt God say to him, Andrew, that's not enough. You need to put a zero onto that. Now, we don't know how it's going to look. We don't know when it's going to happen. But God is stirring up an expectation. If He's saying, I don't want to plant just two churches. I want to plant 20 churches. And that is signs that what we see God is doing here in us is also showing towards the thing that God is doing outside there. But it actually requires us in here to give attention to it in here. So that when the right time comes, we can go out there and we can plant the 20 churches. We can go out there and we can do the thing that God is calling us to do. But it starts here. It starts here between me and you, between us. We planting and we working and we laboring together in the presence of God for the things that He has for us. Man, that is exciting. It's exciting that God is speaking like that. God is very much, I want to use the right word. Concerned is not the right word, but I'm going to use concerned. But concerned about whatever He set out to happen, or interested, Thanksgiving. God is very much interested in what He has set out to happen to come to fruition. Not just in the kingdom. Not just in the big scope things. But I'm saying to you that God, the scripture says to us that God is faithful. that he's faithful to accomplish the good work that he started in you. And God is looking at each and every one of us. And like I'm saying, like I see us as like this 412, like we almost represent the church. I don't think when God looks at each and every one of us here, he's just seeing a representation of a church. No, he's seeing a church. He's seeing a destiny. He's seeing a whole group of people that can come just out of the work that he's doing in your life that's going to carry out into eternity. God is seeing each and every one of you as a possibility of someone to plant a church that will shake a nation. If you think, I cannot do that, I want to say to you, that's a lie of the enemy. And like Kevin said, this is not a prosperity gospel or a prosperity thing of, hey, you can do anything. No, 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 no. I'm saying God can do anything through you. And we need to position ourselves and say, God, come and do everything you want to do through me. I give myself. I avail myself for that thing. Because he wants to do it. He wants to see that thing come into fruition. He didn't just save you so that you can go to heaven. He saved you. He bought you so that you can be something more than just that. He wants you for himself. And in the you being with him, he accomplishes his goodwill through your life. And that's what God is calling us to. So this morning I want to chat a little bit about, or I say chat, but just about some of the things that in the same vein where God has convicted our hearts and some of our lives have changed already just in this last week. But we're coming in the same vein, but we're coming in a different place because our hearts have now been convicted. We've been touched and realizing, cool, there's housekeeping to do. We all play a part here. We all need to do this. We all make a difference. We all add to what God is doing here. And from that place this morning, I want to ask us that we continue to allow God to speak into us and that we continue to allow God to move through us. Because as we allow it, it is something that we do need to allow. God has given us free will to choose him. And so in that, we can stop in our hearts the work of God by the way that we position ourselves. And so as God comes and speaks and we get convicted, we owe it to that to say, God, let me give myself fully. And from that place this morning, I want to speak to us and I want to encourage us to continue allowing God to speak to us. Continue allowing God to work through us, to convict us. And as he's convicting us, to take that conviction and say, God, I'm going to do everything I can to make work of this thing that you've done in my heart. I'm not going to just sit down, but I'm going to allow you to work this thing out. So what I want to speak to us is about positioning ourselves for the favor of God. Now for some, when you hear the favor of God, you hear, I don't know if you remember last week I spoke about the pastors that have 30,000 rand or dollars, sneakers and whatever else. That's not the favor of God. That's just materialism. I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about the favor of God that takes a guy like Moses that can't speak, that's left and that comes into the king's courts and starts speaking to the king about what God is wanting to do. It's not a comfortable place. It's a place that Moses would want to run away from. It's those things of where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they go and the king is saying, you will worship me. And they're going, no, we won't. Whether God saves us or he doesn't save us, this is what we are going to continue to do. And the king says, like, Nebuchadnezzar says, like, I'm going to send you into the fire. And they walk into the fire unscathed. The people taking them into the fire, they burn away and they die. There's nothing left of them. And they come out of the fire, not even smelling like smoke. That is the favor of God upon their lives. I'm speaking about that kind of favor of God. Because I believe for all of us, for me, I need that favor of God. I don't care about the sneakers or the apple this. I'm quite an apple guy. I don't eat apples, but I like apple devices. But I tend to just end up with apple, half-eaten apples. Which, I mean, if you look at Apple logo, it's half-eaten apple. So, I'm blessed. Anyway. I want us to position ourselves for the favor of God. In the New Testament, there's around about 112 references to the words blessing, bless, or blessed. Now, on social media, you on WhatsApp and everything has got a status these days. It's like, I think one of these days we're going to probably have like these, either like a holographic screen above our heads or a digital screen on your front that just will give your status to the world, and you won't need to say anything or speak to anyone because it will just have all these Bible verses, hashtag blessed, hashtag levels, hashtag whatever. But that's kind of how we look at these things. But when we actually go and read up and go and check on what this bless word actually means within the New Testament, it's got absolutely zero to do with any material thing. It's got nothing to do with material prosperity. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures for us. Just parts of them. But you can go and read them. In Matthew 5, we see of the Beatitudes. We go, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not snake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. That sounds super blessed. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Yes. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Where's the watch? Where's the Apple device? Where's the sneakers? Where's the big house? Where's the white picket fence? It's not there. This kingdom works differently. For so many of us, when we think of the favor of God, or when I say the favor of God, we look at these things and go, man, I prayed for a car and I got a car. Or I prayed for this and I'm praying for this. But that's not the favor of God. The blessing that's shown in the Bible is actually shown towards trials, towards poverty in different kinds. And more importantly, to spiritual benefits. The benefits that we find being joined together with Jesus as one. That's what the blessing it speaks of there. The Greek word for blessing, I'm not going to say it to you, because it's not even closely related to Afrikaans, but it means, and it creates this picture of being fully satisfied. Being fully satisfied is the word that it comes from. There's a meaning, the meaning for favor. is to show liking for someone or something. And favor as a verb means to show approval or preference to someone, or to give someone something desired. So there is this side of like there's a giving something, but there's also this side to it of where it's a general state of being, being fully satisfied. And I believe for us, this is where God wants us to bring. Or this is, that didn't make sense. This is where God wants to bring us to. It's to being in a place of where we're so fully satisfied in Him that everything else kind of falls by the way. And that He adds to us the desires of our hearts. And those desires of our hearts, because we're fully satisfied in Him, becomes more of Him. There's a testimony that in this last while have come out. And she's going to share on it a little bit later. So Jenny, where's Jenny? Jenny Gordon. She's going to share it, and I don't want to steal the thunder on this, but I felt like this testimony is such richness to it, of God working in the situation. And so a while ago, she came to the elders and just thought about moving to a different place. And the kids kind of would have helped her. And we felt like it's going to actually take her away from this and what God is doing here. And so we obviously prayed about it. And we said to her what we feel. And said, like, we feel like you actually need to stay there. And we trust God. And how many months later? 2 months? 6 months. 6 months. It's more expensive. The other place would have been cheaper. It's a whole bunch of things of just looking like that would have been it. And she positioned herself to come and speak to the elders. And the elders prayed. And we prayed with her and for her. And a couple of 6 months later, this whole thing turns on its head. And God provides. And where she's staying right now, same place. Cheaper than what the other place would have been 6 months ago. And God is just, I'm giving just highlights here. But God provides for her in a place where she trusted Him. She followed His way. As He spoke, she acknowledged it. She allowed it to penetrate her heart. And she moved everything according to what God spoke and said, I'm sticking here. And what happens? She's in a position for the favor of God to come. And God alleviates the whole thing. It's something you can't make up. It's something that we can't generate. It's something that only God does. And this morning for us, I would like us to make sure that we position ourselves in that place of where we're able, and we're going to speak about these areas, where we're able to hear God. And as God's speaking, that our hearts are open for Him to come and convict us. And as He's convicting us, that we end up doing the things that He convicted in our hearts. That there's that obedience to God. Because in that place, we end up positioning ourselves for His favor. Because what He finds is He finds someone who is fully satisfied in Him. Regardless of the things around him. Does that make sense? You guys hearing that? Awfully quiet this morning. So, how do we position ourselves for the favor of God? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the first point, how we position ourselves. We position ourselves in a position to please God. We need to please Him. Pleasing God is saying that, God, I am so satisfied with You. You satisfy me. As we, and let's get to the scripture again. Verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Some translations are saying holy and pleasing to God. So it's actually us coming and saying, God, I'm on my knees. I acknowledge you as my Lord, my Savior. I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice. I'm laying my life at your feet and saying, you are Lord over me. And in that, I know that you find pleasure in that place, oozing from my life towards Him. And it's something that we only can do by His mercy that is poured out. We can't do it just by ourselves. And for most of us sitting here today, we've received His mercy, received His salvation that He's poured out on the cross. So for us, this position is a position that we should continuously and daily take in. I'm saying, God, I present myself. It's not my will, it's your will. It's not my life, it's Christ living in me. It's Christ living through me. And through that, we bless Him. Through that, he finds that place of where He can see that we are satisfied in Him. If you really love someone, the thing that you do is you don't try and irk them the whole time. When you're maybe like a 12-year-old boy and you like a girl, you kind of pick your nose and flick her and shoot her with a pea shooter and like, you know, I don't know, because girls are kind of like, but actually you like this girl. No, but your wife, your husband, you love him, and because you love them, you want to please them. Because you love them, you go like, I want to do the things. If you want me to take out the trash, I'm taking out the trash. I hope you guys are still taking out the trash after 4:12. It's to please Him. It's to say that you satisfy me. Secondly, it's to worship God. So the first position we need to find ourselves in is in a position where we say, God, I want to please you. So it's to please God. The second position is to worship God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So these two are very much linked together. I mean, all of it is. But there's a position in that. There's a position in us in the way that we walk, in the way that we talk, in the way that we spend our money, in the way that we spend our time, in the way that we spend our emotions and our eyes and like all these things. That shows what we love. It shows what we worship. It shows what we think of. And so for us to come into that place of where we are positioning ourselves for the favor of God upon our lives, it needs to come from that place of where we are fully devoted to Him. Where every second we have, every moment that we have to connect with Him, that we take it. To worship God is to make pleasing God. And just hear this. To worship God is to make pleasing God is the most important thing of all of your life. To worship God is to make pleasing God, to please Him, the most absolute, the most important thing of your life. That is what it means to worship God. It's not just the songs. It's not just you sitting in your room and singing to God or praying or reading your Bible. Those things are good. But it's to say, as a whole, God, my life is yours. I am yours. I belong to you. And that's a position that we've got to take in. It doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally is the things of this world. What comes naturally is the way where our thoughts are battling against us to come into that place of worship. We don't, no one tries to, even on a Sunday morning, we're coming to God. We know that He's alive. We know that it's great to worship God. We know it. We've tasted it. We've seen it. But yet we come on a Sunday morning, and man, you're standing here and you've got to fight for that thing of going like, I want to worship God. You're not trying to go, no, I'm going to be miffed with God today. No one tries to do that. So we've got to realize that this position is a position that we've got to take, and we've got to be purposeful about it. Because our default is to move away from that. In John 4, I just quickly want to go there. God calls us to a place of where we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's just again another point of how this thing doesn't come naturally. God, Jesus speaks to the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan, and we've heard this preach before. And Samaritans, they wanted to be like the Jews. So they copied basically everything that the Jews wanted to do, because they wanted that the God of the Jews. And Jesus, she comes to Jesus and they have a whole conversation. And He says to her that one day will come a time when we all, or when the Father is looking at and looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just before that, He says to you know, you worship something you do not know. We worship, the Jews, we worship something we do know. For salvation comes from the Jews. Jesus, He was a Jew. Salvation comes from within us. The Samaritans, they were like, if we think that we've got racism and racist issues today, man, you won't believe what it was back then. Like, she was that time of the night, she was at the well, not because she didn't have anything to do, but because other times they weren't allowed to be there. It was segregation on a whole nother level that we don't even understand. And yet Jesus meets her and she's like, whoa, I need to actually, I almost need to go run back to my place. And Jesus says to her, like, hey, it's not about what you, the God that you don't know about that you're worshiping. We know. It's not even about the God that we know that we're worshiping. But there's going to be a new thing that's going to be done. It's not going to be this mountain or that mountain that you worship on. No. My Father's looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Nothing natural in us is spirit. Nothing natural. Our flesh is flesh. It's not spirit. And therefore, we need to realize that the battle to worship God in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives is not just a matter of our flesh, but it's actually the Spirit of God that we need to tap into, the Spirit of God that we need revelation to say, God, we worship You with everything that we have. It's never going to happen naturally. It's a position that we need to take in with the Word of God. And unless we're in a place, and this is where the scripture goes on to say, which is your spiritual worship, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That renewal of the natural man comes. comes from being in the Spirit and having the Word wash over us so that the Spirit man can come into maturity. It's not a natural place. It's a spiritual place. As we worship God, God calls us to a place of being transformed. He calls us to a place of understanding who He is. It's like that's the plan for church all over the world. It's for all of us to grow into a fullness of who He is. A fullness of the knowledge of what He has done, of who He is, of why He's taken hold of us. That's how we mature in Him. It's not to go, hey, I got saved and a couple of years later now I'm preaching the Word. Preaching the Word or singing a worship song or even praying for people to get healed, to get raised from the dead, to like none of that is maturity. That's all just gifting. It's not character. It's not maturity. God calls us to a place of where we become mature. And for that, we need to spend time worshiping Him. We need to spend time in our Bibles. We need to spend time like with all of our lives, filling and saturating our lives with Him. And in doing that, we align our lives in a position to know or to see His favor come into us and to go in front of us. And lastly, it's to know His will. It's to please God, give Him everything that we have and who we are, to worship God with everything we have and with everything we are, and then to know His will. To take what all we have, just to say, God, there's nothing better than knowing You. Now the thing about knowing His will is there's two things. And I need to finish up. There's two big things regarding the will of God that we see in Scripture. We see the big will of God where His will is sovereign and we can't change it. And He's set out what He's got. Anything that He wants to do, He does. But there's the will of God where God has made available for us good works to accomplish. There's the will of God, part of God, where we get to step into and we get to walk alongside the things that God has set out for us to do and be called faithful in doing them. And that's what we're speaking about knowing the will of God. It's about knowing, being part of what He's doing and being able to walk with Him. Now, for a lot of us, when we think of the will of God in that sense, we think, let me be able to see what happens tomorrow. I want to see what's going to happen 10 years from now, a year from now. I want to be able to almost like predict the future in some form of sense. And we put that out to be the will of God. But I want to say to us this morning that you can just go down the street, you go to a spiritualist or someone that sucks on stones and smells crystals or whatever else, and they are going to have their crystal ball and they can tell you what tomorrow might look like. Because that's what the devil does. It doesn't mean that you're spiritual. No. The will of God that God speaks of is for today obeying His voice. It's to accomplish the good works. It says the good works that He set out before the foundations of the earth was laid. Those good works for us to accomplish them today. And God is calling us into that place. Where we walk out His will daily. Where we follow His voice. Where we follow His leading daily. Because that will get us into places where we realize that it's only God that can do it. It's only God that can do it. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus, we saw in His life, like He was continuously praying, continuously asking God, what is your will? And he said clearly, I'm not doing anything you see me doing. It's not anything done out of my own thing. It's only what I'm seeing the Father doing. Jesus had favor upon his life. Amen? God wants us to be more about how we see him, to be more about how we love him, and be less interested about the outcome of things. To be less interested about where things are going to end up. And going, today, God, today while I have breath in my lungs, I worship your name. Today while I have strength in my arms, I follow your word. Today while I can walk 10 steps, I'm going to accomplish the will that you've set out for me. Because I don't know what tomorrow holds. And so I want to encourage us. And it's encouraging. It's that God is wanting to accomplish his will in us. He's wanting to pour his favor out upon us. That's clear. What's not clear for each and every one of us, including me, is whether we'll be able to receive his favor when he pours it out. And that's something that he places in our hands. That's something where he says to us, position yourselves. Gird up your loins. Get ready. I'm going to do something. And I know for me, I don't want to on that day go, man, I missed out on what God wanted to do. I don't care about whatever mansions I get in heaven one day. I just want to be part of what God is doing here. I just want to see him break through into people's lives. There's no greater joy than hearing a story like Jenny. And just going, she's given herself, she followed what God is saying, and look what God has done. Look what he's done. It's amazing. We can't do that. Man, it's to be part of what he's doing. But that means that my life, I need to position myself differently. And so I want to ask us as a church, as a congregation, as a family, that we look at it and say, God, how must I position myself? So let's pray.